Hey, hey, what's up? It's Azesu back again, E-Society Podcast. And this is Big Brother coverage. But before I go any further, it's the Nez.
Yo, yo, what's up, everybody? We're back. I know some of you are probably saying, well, I thought you weren't doing this. If you listen to the last couple, I got sucked back in.
Yeah, and right. There's controversy left and right. I think we had one every pod so far, and I've got another one for you.
All right, but before we dive into that, what's going on right now? Okay, we're recording this on Tuesday.
Yeah.
The 15th. It is 7:48 in the PM here in California. Sunny. Well, it's not sunny anymore. Sun's going down. Hella hot where I'm at. What's the temperature where you're at on the coast?
Hotter than it usually is. Honestly, the summer here usually is quite the bummer. You know how cold I get sometimes. There are some summers where I can't. I'm like, it's July, it's August, and I'm running the heater, and I'm like, this is nuts. Well, not this summer. This is the first summer period that I can remember where it was a normal thing to have two windows open upstairs. Well, I got the deck door cracked, and that is very unnormal for here. So, yeah, the temperature is shockingly high. We're at 65 right now, with a supposed air quality index of 132, unhealthy for sensitive groups. I'm guessing because of fires in outlying region with a little bit of smoke in the air. It's not nearly as bad as I've had it here before, but yeah, honestly, we're at a 65 right now. Almost every year before this, it'd probably be like 45 degrees right now at this time, 7:50 at night. So it's like 20 degrees warmer than it normally is.
I wish, man. It's like 80 something right now.
And the sun's but I'm down. Just saying, like, that's not normally not what it is here. Like, it's shockingly high.
I'm sure it's hotter down in the LA, but as far as for the inside of the Big Brother's house, everybody's still running around with hoodies and just regular sweatshirts because they're all freezing. But I got my swamp pool around, but
keep those cameras cool.
I had to shut the door or we're going to hear a hum. So at some point, I want to get some kind of cooling air. Maybe I could. Well, I don't know.
We've never needed it here. Today was the first day where I was like, damn, you almost could use like a little bit of air conditioning. I was like, this is crazy. This is like never happens here.
Well, the camera I'm watching, Jag is, I don't know if he's touching up Blue's makeup. Who's the other gal that's in the background?
So Riley's laying down and America is sitting right next to Blue.
Yeah, I don't know what Jag is doing, but.
Yeah, it looks like he's just, whatever, doing Blue's makeup. Blue always does a lot of makeup, so I'm sure that's how that came up. It's funny, because I have the quad box up, how even though, like, yeah, I got big news for you in the house, like, a flip is potentially on, but you can see, like, these four young people, Riley, Jag, America, Blue, they just can't help but hang out. And then on the other feed, you got Hysum, Red, Sari, Miss Felicia, Bowie Jane, you know, Izzy, the same crews that divided the house last week are still hanging in group. You know, you like who you like. So, you know, but yeah, big news in the house. Sari, obviously a very powerful player in the game. She's got her son in the game with her, and most players don't know, only Izzy knows. But the flip could be on. Hysum has targeted Riley for eviction. Riley and Cameron are on the block for Thursday's eviction. But Sari has got Izzy on board, and they've done big work as far as flipping the house. And not only do they want to flip the house, they want to blindside Hassam. Hassam has said that he wants Riley out, and he made, I guess, some mean speech that we'll see in tomorrow's episode. But yes, yeah, Saree wants to blindside Hassam. He thinks it's going to be unanimous for Riley to leave, but she wants it to be unanimous for Riley to stay. So it could be quite dramatic. Feeds on Thursday night should be quite good.
All right. But let me see what else is going on in this house, because this is getting boring. Let me see what. Well, that's the same feed.
Well, yeah, if you go quad, you can see the two rooms they're covering. One's the bathroom with Jag and the young crew. And then the other one, like I said, is the older folks in the comic room.
I got to turn this sideways. What's young black woman's name?
It's probably Nicole. I think that.
The one with she's standing there with her hands on her head.
Oh, well, we're like must be off on feed timing, because I've got, like I said, I got the quad up, and in the comic
room. So do I. Like,
well, yeah, Red is the one that's standing up.
No, there's the black woman with a gray shirt on. I don't. They're only showing her. We see Blue and then the gang on the other two, but I don't know who this young black woman is.
It's probably McCole.
Standing. But, yeah, I don't know if she's talking to someone.
Oh, because, yeah, now mine cut to all four screens are the bathroom crew.
I still have two squares in the bathroom, and then whoever this other chick is standing there with her hands on her head.
I bet we'll see in a second here. I bet I'm behind. Because I have had the feeds on before, and I'll like reload Twitter X, and the conversation will already be on there as I'm seeing it. So I'm pretty sure I'm behind somehow on these feeds. Oh yeah, it is. That's what happened. Yeah, it was Nicole. She's in the HOH bathroom. And it looks like she's doing what's now become like a classic thing for her. She's kind of ranting to herself. She's really good at the game as far as keeping to herself, but she's not happy about this potential flip. She doesn't
now think I it's see good Red.
For her alliance. See, yeah, I'm behind because I'm just seeing McCole with her hands on her hips. But yeah.
Well, I still say, all right, now they switched it. Now it's away from her. We see Red and everyone else in the room.
So I'm behind. I'm behind. But
are you watching yours on your TV? I'm watching mine on my phone.
I'm watching it on TV. Yeah.
All right.
So that might be why. But like I said, plenty of times I'll reload and then the post will have the conversation. And a second later, I'll see it on TV. And I'm like, wow, look at that. You can read along.
So if something like went down like a fight or whatever, they would just shut it all off, right?
They would. They would cut the feeds. And if that happened, most likely the instigator would be removed from the house because it's happened before. I think season 14. You remember that guy, Russell, that Coach went against on the Survivor season?
Yeah.
Yeah, his like brother or cousin came to Big Brother, and yeah, he started a fight and got kicked out of the house like 1 week in.
Well, I don't know. I wish there was. Well, I guess I can't do subtitles. But
no, I don't think so. Because
why are they after Heisem?
Huh?
Why are they after Heisem?
Basically because he accused Riley of having like HOH-itis is what they call it, like a power trip kind of thing. He accused Riley of doing that. And then he's like actually been worse. And as far as Cerise's side of the house, this professors or bye bye bitches, they've like felt like he's acting like Hysum's acting like dictatorish. Like he called them in the room and was like telling them what to do and telling them no side alliances. And then the next thing you know it, they hear he's like putting together little side alliances. So they don't like the way he's playing. And then, yeah, I guess we'll see it in tomorrow's episode. But like, yeah, he like really goes at like embarrassing Riley with his veto speech that we get to see in tomorrow's episode. And I guess he immediately, because as soon as the feeds came back, we came back to a conversation of him apologizing to Riley, like, oh, I went too far and that was mean. And like, I went mean spirited and I shouldn't have done that. And I apologize and stuff like that. So, but it's too late. That's what's going to be on the episode. You recorded the veto meeting as part of the episode. So, I mean, that's the image that's going to go out. So, you know, I don't know. He should know better, but the weird thing about Hysum is coming into the house. I have in my notes, he's the second oldest in the house, tied with Bowie, 45. He's a geriatric doctor who wants to embrace life and adventure. He has a complex idea of how to do a secret alliance, Daniel Reyes style, split house with his closest ally on the other side, and they control the game. I said that was unrealistic at the time. It's still early in the game, and he did not try to do that at all. Like, he said that he was going to try that complicated thing, and he didn't try to do that at all. He didn't try to. He actually seemed to get all in his feelings week one that, like, that Riley tried to make an alliance, and now he's like, I blame you for splitting this house. You were at fault. So, yeah, it's kind of silly. And a lot of people are like mad at him in the house, too, for him like doing that, like being all like, I'm all about the rules and I am honorable and this and that. And backdooring is not honorable and this and that. And so a lot of people are really rubbed the wrong way by Hysum. And he can't compete for head of household here the next week. So I think no matter what happens, if Cameron stays, if Riley stays, no matter what, Hysum's probably, if not going to be nominated, they might backdoor him, which I'm sure will make him even more mad. Because I don't know if you know what that means, backdoored, but it's when they wait to use the veto and then they remove somebody and then they put you up and you have no chance to do anything to save yourself. All you can do is promote for votes, but you can't play in a competition to save yourself. So.
Oh man. It's my feed.
But it is interesting that he's like, he's not in his HOH room. He's down here hanging with the professors, the week one alliance, Red and Izzy and Sari and Miss Felicia and Bowie Jane. I caught earlier today, it was funny. You know, Miss Felicia, she's ruined like 5 microphones. I caught her today. She dropped it again. She didn't ruin it, but she dropped it.
Okay, let's see what happened to my feed.
And Sari told her, she's like, you know, when they do the BB comics every year, they have like each person has a theme. She's like, yours 100% is going to be something about destroying mics. You're going to be like the microphone destroyer. Like, that's going to be your comic.
When they're asleep, do they get to at least turn the lights off?
They don't control the lights, but production does turn off the lights. And then if you tune in the middle of night, or honestly, a lot of people game till like 2, 3, sometimes 4 in the morning. But if you tune in like 5, 6 a.m., you can see they've got like the night vision on. So you can see them. You can see them sleeping. But
what's the deaf guy's name?
Matt.
I just saw him pedaling on a bike.
Yeah, that's where our controversy comes this week. There's few people that are really passionate speaking out against it. It's obviously hasn't blown up to the levels of like what happened with Luke, with him getting removed from the game. But the accessibility that Matt's being offered in the game as a deaf person has kind of got a lot of people up in arms online about some of the unfair things and how they like haven't like prepared the other house guests. Like, of course you should play the game, and he's here to play the game and shouldn't get any, like, you know, it should be obviously fair all the way around, but like when it's come to competitions and even like the live vote and eviction, the first one, like it was clear he couldn't hear in the booth when Julie said thank you and they left him sitting there, so that had some people mad. And I heard the last veto competition he played in, the feeds were down for 17 hours. And I heard one of the reasons was they probably had to stop the competition and find a way to make it more fair for Matt to compete. So I think obviously they're, now that that happened, they're going to think of a lot harder and hopefully do better here the rest of the season. But, you know, it's all probably actually honestly a good thing. You got to go through this stuff to learn and figure out, and hopefully they can make it more accessible for him and future, you know, people with any kind of condition that might come into the house in the future and play the game.
Well, they should have thought about all this before bringing him in. I mean, unless he goes, you know, what, let's not, because it'll get people talking and that's what we need.
Sure.
Yeah. And everything. So I don't know. Or maybe they just honestly really didn't think. I mean, but they're basing it on, this is just my opinion or what I think. They probably just base it all on, all right, this is what he told us in the interview. He says he can read lips, he can do all this and all that, but I mean, he can't hear it all.
No. Well, no, he can hear. It's just okay. Tough. It's just tough. He says it's about like 50% hearing, but when he's in, when they do, like when they sit in a group, like and this is another thing that got people talking. They were playing this like get to know you game, but that's where he struggles too, when there's a lot of people cross talking and he can't focus in and watch their lips, because that's a lot of how he figures out what people are saying, is he watches their mouth when they're talking. So when people are cross talking, it gets really hard for him. And especially, you know, there's 15, 16 people in the house. Like it got a little like overwhelming for him, you know? So I heard, though, that that's one of the things that Riley's doing is helping him, like, with that kind of stuff. So that's good. Looks like the groups are kind of coming together a little. Red left the room. Oh, Jag and Blue and Riley are back in the comic room now. Showing off Jag's makeup job, I guess.
I just have all four screens of this girl with her hands on her head.
Oh, Nicole. It's funny because, yeah, like I said, you're ahead of me. So now I'm seeing two of the screens went to Nicole.
Now it says we'll be right back.
What's interesting is she shouldn't stress herself about this. I know it's not going the way she wants, but like she's in a good spot. Don't fight the flip. Even if you don't think the flip is good, it's so early. Like, let your alliance do that, obviously. And yeah, you're not going to catch any flack for this move if it's like the whole house. So I think McCole has played actually a great game so far. She was one of my preseason picks. I picked her and Jag. I think McCole's in a lot better spot than Jag. I think Jag has been playing from behind pretty much the whole time, and he keeps trying to build back up big alliances, and it's not working for him.
Now, what's Izzy doing? I see Izzy talking to the other older black woman. Their hands are moving all over the place.
Yeah, she's very animated. Like I said, she's a fan favorite for, like, you just know she's going to be messy. So, and, you know, she might say something crazy, not out of bounds, but like the thing I sent you, the I want to F them up thing. But yeah, the Cerise, the biggest part of Cerise, we can make moving the slip, was getting Izzy on her side, because like Izzy's closely aligned with Cerise, but like everybody views Izzy as more of a threat, and obviously that's what Cerise wants. And like Cerise is this like survivor legend, played it four times, played traitors, so she knows how to play these kind of games. So it's interesting to see her play, and for her, she is so like insulated in her alliance.
Who's this guy with the pink hat? Corey, is that his name?
Yes.
All right. And the blonde girl sitting next to him?
It's got to be Riley. I'm still haven't hit the we'll be right back thing. I've just got the four McColls.
you're at least
like 2 minutes ahead of me. Oh, there we go. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Izzy is talking to the older black woman, not the bald one.
Sorry?
I guess.
Yeah, Cerise is our main character this year, like I said, because she's the one that everybody knows from Survivor. So she's what the show revolves around. She was the big twist on premiere night. She was the surprise at the end of the episode. Everybody else had to play the first episode. She got to... now I'm getting the Cerise Izzy comment. And this is like exactly... like what I'm talking about, when it's like Cerise the mastermind, but she lets Izzy like be the face of like the alliance. So, and yeah, obviously it was Riley talking to Corey. Corey's playing a really good in the middle of the house game right now. The young side, the handful side alliance, they brought him in late. And obviously that didn't make him feel very secure. He knows about Cerise, obviously. He doesn't know about Cerise's son being in the house. The only one that does is Izzy. But, Corey's playing pretty good in the middle of the game. You saw the eviction, the first eviction, right, when Kirsten left?
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, well, after he gave his vote for Kirsten, he said, "Beat you, Zach," to the camera when he left. He's talking about his brother played Survivor and was out week one. So he beat his brother.
Oh, so that's what he meant when he walked out of the room after he canceled in his vote.
Yeah, that was a message to home.
All right.
And his brother, it was funny on Twitter or X, like at the start of the episode, he had posted, "I'm like the proudest big brother ever," for Corey. And then that moment happened, and then he like quoted it and was like, "F that guy."
Damn.
Did you get a chance to see the scary competition from this last Sunday's episode?
I did not. I'm only watching live feeds. I don't actually watch the show.
That one is actually worth checking out, because they took them across the street from the Big Brother house onto a CBS lot. And they never do that. But obviously with the writers actor strike going on, none of the lots are being used. So they took them on a set. And I'd be curious to know if you know what they've like filmed there, but it's like right. See if I can pull up the Big Brother house and send it to you with the little thing. Maybe you can
The sitcom.
I don't know if you'll know from top view, but yeah. So they, My Three Sons Street, right across from the Big Brother house, is where they went, and they did, it was like a scary verse competition. It was a horror themed competition where it was basically like musical chairs, and they had the Nether Gorgon. And it was basically a guy in a costume on stilts, and he had like a scary voice. And he was like, told them, he gave them like riddles on where it was safe to hide from him. So it was like a musical chair. So you had to find the right spot quick before there were no more spaces. And then like they would eliminate, like, okay, yeah, now three people are out. Now four people are out. Now the remaining people out. Now it's just the final two. And then the final one had a household, which Jared actually thought he picked the right door for the last round. And he picked wrong. He went to the door first, but he picked wrong. So that's how Heisen won, had a household.
Well, I don't know what. I thought it was a picture of the actual street, not from.
Well, yeah. Like, I don't know if there's a way if you could bring it up on maps. Like, right, you can either put in Big Brother House and then, yeah, My Three Sons Street. That's where they took them to play. And they had the street decorated all spooky. They brought them out there at night to do it. And it was actually pretty cool looking. Like, they don't, like I said, they don't, I don't remember them ever doing that before. And, like, Cliff, he played the game. He said they never did that before. So, for his season.
I have no clue. I can't tell from the sky view. I need to be right there.
Yeah, it looks like a sitcom street, but I bet if you saw it, you'd be like, "Oh yeah, this show." Was it in that? Didn't I send you? Or I don't know if you still have it. Yeah, back on Sunday, I sent you a clip of it. If you want to bring that up. If you still have it.
I have to get out of this live feed.
Yeah, I sent you a clip on Sunday at 8. Man. And yeah, you can see, you can't actually see.
That looks like the Leave It to Beaver house. So it looks like one that's off to the left of them.
Right.
Yeah, they're just showing all them.
Right.
That looks like the Beaver's house.
I know. Think that so? Was a, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean,
it looks like it. I don't know because it. All I know is they filmed a lot of Big Bang Theory.
A lot of sitcoms, I'm sure. Like street stuff got put like filmed there, I'm sure.
Yeah, if they needed street stuff.
Yeah.
Big Bang Theory was always on that street.
Yeah. I'm seeing on the posts in this whisper between Izzy and Suri, Izzy saying, "I trust Matt. Suri, I do too. I feel better with Matt than I do Heisen. Izzy, me too." So that's interesting. Suri, I'm at 70% keep Riley, 30% keep Cameron. Izzy says, yes, 75-25. So the flip isn't at 100% yet. And the problem is it's still got a lot of time where it could die. The vote's not till Thursday afternoon. So we still got a whole day where the flip can die. So... Assam talking to Izzy, Suri, Jared, Red, and Bowie. He says everyone's asking him his thoughts and who he's working with. He has no secrets with the people in the room. He says he has an alliance with Jag and Blue, but they are going after him, and that alliance will end. Suri says now they need to rethink things because he said they weren't supposed to start other alliances. He says Jag and Blue were people going after him from the private alliance, and says it's Corey is pushing for Jag and Blue to go up and for Corey to go if they win Power of Veto. Bowie bonked her head on the bed frame and said, "Ow, I always hit my head." Oh man, Bowie Jane, your pick from the start of the year. She has been an almost non-factor in this game. She's technically with the professors, but she is not a game player. So, which is funny because you latched on to what's her name last year? And like
Indy
was not much of a game player either, but she talked more game than Bowie does. Bowie talks almost no game at all. She was acting during the horror comp, though. They were all acting. I don't know if you saw that. They're all huddled up. The Nether Gorgon.
Why be on the show if you're not going to like be into it? I mean, if you're just...
A lot of people, like, they do come for the actual, like, social aspect of it. Like I said, Indy didn't game hard. Bowie's not gaming hard. Red's not gaming that hard. He has gamed. But yeah, Red's not gaming that hard. I'd say Miss Felicia isn't gaming that hard, but she's such a core part of what Suri and Jared have going on that, like, I don't know. In a way, Miss Felicia is, like, almost bulletproof right now. Like, you go up on the block with her, you're leaving. You're not voting out Felicia, at least right now, with 2 weeks in. So,
well, I don't know what's happening on the show.
This Cameron guy, like I said, he might get blindsided out of the house, and he's definitely just playing. Well, it's kind of his personality. He's kind of just playing it cool, and just. He's not gaming that hard either this week, but he's trying to do that tactic of like, if you do too much, then people will just see you as a threat and just want to vote you out anyway. So he's trying to just play it cool, but I don't know if it'll work for him. It'll be interesting. He is definitely not a fan favorite. He's probably the least liked in the online community right now, Cameron. But yeah, I guess while we're still here, I wanted to really quick run down the if I noticed anything. Like I said, Hysum is the big standout from the preseason notes, where it's like it doesn't match. Red talked about hiding his profession. I don't know if he's done that or not. It hasn't really mattered.
Really quick, is he come around on Cameron? He's right there in the room with them.
She hasn't, but she's come around to the fact of that she has to play the game. Suri talked her down from that ledge that you can't go so hard all the time. You kind of gotta cool it. So she's actually honestly doing a better job with that. There was also a funny let's see if I can send it to you. I thought this was really funny. One of the people online that does a good job of covering this, Hamster Watch, regarded this conversation talking about HOH-itis or power tripping. So he said to Izzy, "That'll happen when you get up there." And Izzy said, it won't. Have you met me? And the person online, they put the little mouse meme. Yes. That was pretty funny. But yeah, Izzy, speaking of Izzy, she said she wanted to lay low early and win comps late. She is not laid low at all. She's one of the biggest personalities in the house. She's identified as this huge figure. If you were to go at this professor's alliance, she would probably be your target. She's like not laid low at all. So that's interesting. Felicia, she was going to say she was slightly younger, but she like instantly, once she saw Sari, she like instantly threw any plans she had before and now is just like ride or die with Sari. So that was interesting there. Corey's strategy, you can't blame him. Kid's only 21. Wanted to act like a lost player that needed guidance. If he even tried that at all, which I didn't notice that, it just didn't work for him. He was starting from a really, he was instantly on the block. He got sent to that nether verse and he was on the block and it took Riley to take him off the block to save him week one. Riley described herself as a natural spaz. She's always ready to adapt to whatever situation and not float. Won't keep secrets because you can't keep up with lies. That's been true. She's definitely been prone to like people, when people tell her like, okay, yeah, this is between you and me, she is like the worst at keeping secrets. She almost always instantly goes and tells somebody else something right away. So she might get saved this week. I hope she gets saved this week, but I have a hard time believing she's got a very long life in this game. Like, she has a hard time like keeping secrets.
Tremendous people play the game right.
Yeah. Well, that's what's interesting. I feel like there's a lot of people this year who are familiar with the game, but not so-called like super fans. Like I've heard a lot of people, like Heisen included, saying they wish they would have watched more of the show. So you've got a lot of people that like know it, but they don't like really know it. Like even Cameron, he called himself a super fan, but he also seems to be more familiar with like the old show rather than more recent seasons. No, it's funny. McCall said before coming in that she wants to play like a politician, wants to play like Tiffany, Janelle, and Brittany. But so far she's been mostly under the radar, playing it cool. But then she has things like we just saw where daily now she seems to be letting out her stress, just like talking to the cameras, and it's creating nice little moments for people that watch the live feeds. Cause she's like letting all her feelings out and being like, oh my God, these people, like, can't you just stick to the plan? Like she went off. She said something that like really caught on yesterday about like, you could say my mama too fat, like she were like, the plane ain't gonna change. Like all these people, they're playing too emotional. She's like, a Big Brother is a game where it's strategic and you know there's luck involved. She's like, but there's not emotion. Why are all these people so emotional? Everybody's crying every day. Why are you crying?
Who was saying this?
McCall. The person you saw, she had her hands on her hips.
Well, she ain't going to win.
Which is funny, because I feel like that's what you would say if you were in there. Why all these people crying? Why are you crying about? It's a game.
Exactly.
I would totally be you.
Play to win. Don't just cry around about everything.
Yeah. Yeah, people get emotional in the house, that's for sure. Jag, one of my preseason picks, like I said. He wanted to play the social game, be a jokester. He's doing that. Thinks people won't realize how strategic he is until they're out. Not true. Everybody knows how strategic he is. And it's actually kind of one of his downfalls. Like, and he's been playing from behind. Like, every time he's like calculating a new plan with like Blue or Riley, they're not aware of like where the game is at. And it's like they constantly seem to be playing from behind. So, yeah. Matt, yeah, I mean, like I said, he's been doing his things as much as he could. He was only lightly familiar with the past seasons. But one thing that was cool is, like, Heisen was telling him, like, oh, don't throw away your game, Matt. Like, vote Riley out. And he's like, well, I don't want to vote her out. And, like, he's, like, been really helpful to me in here, and I don't want to vote her out. And he's like, well, you're going to throw your game away, Matt. But I don't know. I hope, even if the vote does flip, I hope Matt stays true and at least gives her the sympathy vote. I'm sure he'll be talked out of it, because it's weird that's how the game is. Like, once a vote is pretty much confirmed with the House does vote that way. It's very rare, unless you've truly got like ride or dies that aren't going to vote like a certain way. Like, the votes usually go pretty one-sided. It's usually not like a close vote. So, America says she's seen all the seasons. She's a super fan for the past 15 years. That is true. She actually does seem to be the most knowledgeable about the games and the feeds and all this and that. She wanted to lay low early. She's definitely doing that. Play the cook, clean, flirt strategy. I haven't seen her cook or clean too much because Miss Felicia is like taking care of all that. So as much as she wanted to do that. And as far as the flirt thing, I guess she was kind of flirting with Jag today, but I couldn't tell if they were messing around or not. Like, they came downstairs together and Jag asked Miss Felicia like jokingly, cryptically, like, hey, Miss Felicia, if you were trying to get somebody to go on a backyard date with you in the backyard of the Big Brother house, like, what would you do? How would you do it? So,
who is this?
America and Jag might be a thing. Another possible showmance in the house, Blue and Jared. I guess they were very cringily flirting with each other yesterday. A lot of people were very cringe about it because he was trying to do the I'm a player thing, and like he said something to the effect of like, yeah, you'd be surprised, you'd go to the club with me and it'd be like the first time you were with a guy who got more attention than you, or something like that. Something weird he said like that. And like Blue said something about, like, I want to have somebody I can obsess over. I want to be obsessed with somebody. And online commenter compared her to a former house guest from BB16, one of my favorite seasons, Beast Mode Cowboy, because he was obsessed with Amber in the house. And they're like, okay, Blue Mode Cowboy.
Dang.
So that was funny. But yeah, Jared, if it wasn't for his mom being in the house, like, he's already played kind of a sloppy game. And like his only like redeeming factor is like his mom being there basically to like clean it up. And like get him right, and like talk to him and tell him a better plan and a better way to act and what to do, and it usually sets him right. But without Sari, like, I think he'd be in a lot more trouble.
Well, I mean, we still gotta see and what.
Oh yeah, long way to go. We got till November to go. So.
They still got quite a ways on what's going to happen in this house with everyone.
I see Izzy might be pitching the flip to Bowie right now. in the living room. Well, it was a couple minutes ago for you, since I'm behind.
Yeah, I just see Izzy talking to Jag, and Cameron is...
Yeah, you're in the future from me.
I can't see who else is in that room.
Yeah, I'm back in the past when Izzy was talking to Bowie in the living room. Now that conversation just ended. Now it's Jag and Izzy. Honestly, though, like I said, all that stuff about Bowie Jane, like kind of playing the floater, like at least after seeing this season, it's not that bad a place to be in, because with so many like big personalities, like they're going at each other, like Riley's a big target, Izzy's a big target, Heisem's a big target, Jag's a big target, Blue's a target. Like you've got all these other people that are like could be potential nominees, and as a so-called floater, like you could float by. It's long bit of strategy in this game. There is a famous quote though, one of the winners before she won once said though, and it's floaters grab a life vest. Because floaters also can get targeted for not playing the game, and they're easy outs.
Not too much is going on in that. Everyone's just kind of just hanging out.
Yeah, I mean, this Jag Izzy conversation might be important though, because that's like a olive branch between the two sides of the house, and obviously if they are going to work together to save Riley, they're obviously going to expect Jag, Blue, and Riley not to target them, you know.
Yeah, we'll see how all this plays out, because as of now, nothing's happening tonight, everybody. Yeah.
Well, you know, would be who's to say if we'd be able to make it work. But I guess regardless, I guess I could go live for it when we do have eventually when they do an endurance competition, they air it on the live feeds. That would be something fun to cover because we'd actually get to see the competition live as it's going down. So.
Well, I guess we could do that sometime when it's happening. Well, it's probably mainly you, because I'm only here every now and then.
Yeah.
For the feeds.
And you got to come in for the controversy.
Yeah. So it's rare that I'm gonna be here all the time, everyone, during the week. So. But this, I'm only here tonight on, what day is it? Monday? No, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, I took the next few days off. I got some family stuff going on. So might as well get some recording in while
No doubt.
We did drop two episodes for you guys, episode 291 and 292.
The big movie catch-up.
Strictly movies, so... You guys have those two, so nobody's complaining that we didn't do nothing.
Yeah. So. Let me give you a quick side note. Interesting. I took out both the Man Thing pop from 2019. That's the one you have that's in full color, and the new Ted from Werewolf by Night Man Thing pop today. You know, it's interesting. The first pop, even though it's smaller, it's heavier. The new one is kind of hollow, and it's lighter.
Oh, it is? Like the one I have, the green one?
Yeah, the one you have is heavier than the new one, even though the new one is bigger.
Is it? Oh, it must be way bigger.
It is. It's in one of the deluxe boxes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's the first one is, like, fully weighted, and this new one is like kind of hollow.
Okay, what's going on? Nothing really, just talking.
Yeah.
Where's like every? I know there's cameras on everybody in the house, but there's.
Not, sadly, just, they yeah they only for the live feeds they only do two. They only give us two different angles for two different conversations is what we get. So, obviously, as the house gets smaller and smaller, it actually covers more of the conversations.
Yeah, probably when it dwindles down, because it's still what, only one person's gone or two. There should have been only one, but Luke chose wrong with his words. So, but
I meant narwhal. Narwhal.
Do they tell them, look, you're out, but don't say nothing until the show's over? Or
no, I mean, yeah, obviously they even before they come in, I'm sure they sign all this stuff, non-disclosure agreement stuff. So, yeah,
I mean, but especially him getting kicked off for right. racial slur. I mean,
yeah, and
I don't know. I'm sure they told him something to keep his mouth shut.
They still haven't announced if they're going to let Kirsten do exit media too. Because normally the evicted house guest does interviews with the media, round of interviews. So
I don't know. She's somewhere, but
Miss Felicia laughing in the living room with Matt.
Now all I got is Izzy and Jag. That was a few minutes ago. What you just said, but no excitement tonight. Boys and girls, so I guess we can wrap this one up unless you got anything else to say.
I don't know. What does Matt have on his back? Like a big bandage?
I can't even see. Unless he's Izzy and Jag. And now someone else is coming into the room with a big blanket on her. Going into another room. I don't know what room that is. All right. What was the guy, the deaf guy's name again?
Matt.
Matt, he's just walking through.
Yeah, what's that on his back? Is it a band-aid?
I can't see. That. He's now right in front of the camera, so I don't know. He's way in the back. I don't know. Who's in the blue? Who's in this blue-looking room? It's the older black woman.
Comic room.
Where's the... The older black woman with the bald head.
She just walked through a minute ago.
Okay, was that her with the blanket on?
Yeah, she's in there. Yeah, she's right next to Suri. It's Suri, Felicia, America's up on a high chair, and then on the other side of the room, Bowie Jane, and I think Cameron's in the one chair.
So you're seeing it on a big TV screen. I'm on my little phone, so I can't really see. Who's way gotcha. In the background? All right, I see the girl that's, is that America?
Yes.
The one sitting on this chair? All right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, everyone. I mean, nothing's happening tonight. There's no excitement. Nobody's fighting or arguing or anything. I assume they're just still trying to plot all their schemes on what to do. I mean, I like what they do when they're, especially at this stage of the game, trying to, all right, we need to do this, and that. But then everyone, we realize it. Like we've said this before. There can only be one winner. So then that's when all the backstabbing and all the arguments start. And, I'm never talking to you. You're supposed to be my friend. And
One goal, though, is to try to make it to jury. So if you can make it to the final... 12, if you can make it down to the final 12 people in the house, you've made it to jury, and jury means you go to another house if you're evicted, and you wait, and you still get a full check If you leave before jury, you only get paid for those weeks you were in the house. So it's actually a lot of people's goal to at least make it to jury. Then you get fully paid.
Oh, something happened. We'll be right back. All four squares.
Oh, well, a second ago, that Jag and Izzy thing, it sounds good to me. It says, checking in the feel good. They feel good about where they're going together in the game. Izzy will try to talk to Blue once more and Jag with Sari. They're excited to pull off the first blind side. Izzy doesn't think Hassam is thriving in the house. So as of right now, oh, it's still on. Oh, I want it. Oh, I hope it doesn't die. This is it feeds on Thursday night could be like incredible if the blind side goes through.
Well, I'll be back Thursday night, everyone, because I'm going out of town for the next couple days. Got to get some stuff done. Well, it's out of town for me, out of California into Reno. I'm not working. I'm off until Friday, but I got to do some family stuff. First day of school is tomorrow, so. Shout out to one of the mini East Deciders, my grandson Daniel. He starts kindergarten tomorrow, so awesome. I don't know where the time went. He's growing. Both of them. They're both growing fast. Incredible.
So fast.
They were just babies the other day.
I know. You know, one thing that kind of put into perspective for me as far as like, you know, I have a Jade is, you know, 23. She goes with the years. There's a post today, you know, everybody's getting excited about Ahsoka coming. And Ahsoka debuted 15 years ago. And I was like, man, that brings me back. Because like Jade grew up with Ahsoka. Ahsoka debuted, you know, Jade was the perfect age. She dressed up as Halloween, one of her best costumes ever. Did the face paint and everything. She had the lightsaber. So, yeah, I was like, man, that's a memory. But yeah, 15 years ago.
I don't know where the time's going, everyone. So we've been 2016,
17,
18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23.
Oh, I know.
Jeez. That's madness.
Seven years in now? Madness. That's so crazy. I had a Haim live concert on earlier. I'd check it out, too, if I was you. It's from 2020, the NPR Tiny Desk concert from home, Haim. I had that on earlier and I was like, oh my god, it says from 3 years ago, and I was like, 3 years? I'm like, I guess so. That was
when did we see him last year?
We did.
Was it last times. Okay, we saw him twice last year.
Berkeley, yeah. And Bend.
I hope they go to Bend again. I like that place. I wanted to go there last weekend for Smashing Pumpkins and Stone Temple. I saw some videos there, man. It was just like the people weren't all smashed up against the barrier. So it was like, yeah. There's, if you've been to that place in Bend, Oregon, that amphitheater, there's so much room.
There is.
I really like that place. Nice. Yeah, I really like that little town and the place we stayed at. I don't know. Eventually, hopefully, if they play there again, we definitely got to truck it back up there. But
the last time Jake visited here a couple weeks ago, she brought up, your kind words to Moore, that the guys that were one of the openers, when you kindly said, I'm here for Moore. And he leaned into the mic and he was like, thank you.
I don't even know who those guys were. That was they kind, were good, for what, that they was were really good cool. For what they were. Plus, yeah, they were cool. A part of the Haim band. So, I mean, there isn't one of them seeing Alana or was, is,
no.
I don't know.
No, that's somebody else. That was the saxophonist. I just wanted to throw this in really quickly too. The thing that I loved though about Berkeley, two things stood out. One, in Bend, we didn't get I Know Alone, so they didn't do the dance. So we didn't get that in Bend. We got the dance in Berkeley. And that was only the third stop of the tour. And we had that awesome moment during Hallelujah where the whole crowd lit up their phones. And like Alana had like her eyes closed for singing her verse. And then she opened to see that. And it was like a really special moment. So that was really cool.
I liked Ben more. I mean, Berkeley is cool, but I hate Greek theater. It was just, we were too jam packed in there because I had left to go get something to drink and went to the bathroom.
Couldn't get back. Yeah, you
could. There was no way I could cry. I could have if I just mopped through everyone, but sure, I didn't want to be that guy. Yeah. Ben, there was plenty of room for everybody. Nobody was bumping and you weren't all smashed up against the front. So, but
it was,
I like really that nice place.
It was really nice. The only thing I got to say, and like, it wouldn't be a bad thing for you, I know you like it cooler, is I notice it's traditionally one of the colder places I have on my places I keep track of. That being said, right now there's an excessive heat warning and it's 78 degrees, but it's okay. Traditionally on my list, one of the colder places I follow.
Well, Bend?
Yeah.
It was perfect. I mean, I see why they didn't do that dance when they had those big jackets, those big coats on the whole time. Plus, it was windy and I thought it was nice and cool. It was perfect for me, but.
But they didn't even do the song. They didn't even do the song. No. So that was too bad. Let me also leave you one last little thing I caught here online. Hamster Watch says, my viewer says live, but I heard this convo earlier today. Bowie talking about COVID in Fiji, word for word. Is she a robot?
I don't know. Oh, everyone's in the hanging out in the bathroom.
Honestly, that'd probably be me. I've been known to
hanging out in the bathroom.
No. Retelling stories. I'm a reteller story person for sure. And I know it too. So I do throw in that like, oh, I know I've told you this before, but it's so good. This and that. I just can't help myself sometimes.
All right. Really quick, everyone. This is a flashback Comic-Con story. The Zisu and them guy, he went a little too hard one night and repeated
free tequila this one, bar. Free tequila.
He repeated this story from wherever we walked to all the way back to the hotel, like, three times the exact.
I do remember you telling me, as blitzed as I was, I can vividly remember you telling me. You already told me that. I remember you telling me.
I let you go twice, but when the third start, when it started over again, I was like, "All right, man." Even Sherry, she was kind of lit up too. I don't think.
Oh yeah.
Joel was that bad. I mean, you can hear it in him, but. Yeah, because she was rambling on a little hard, too. So I knew you two guys. I was like, God, that must have been a fun party.
Yeah.
Where was I at?
It was Make Your Own. And what happened was we made the first few, and they were fine. But then you start to feel the buzz, and we'd go up there. And then just, like, jokingly, like, Joel, like, threw, like, a second shot, like, in our drinks. And then so we started doing that. So the more we drank, actually, the heavier the drinks got, like, the shots kept coming, so
it was a rough morning the next morning.
So. Yeah, and you know what's funny too, I didn't find out till a year later talking to Elisa that the picture I got with Chevy Chase, he didn't want to take that picture, but I had no idea until a year later. I was like, yeah, I got Chevy. She's like, yeah, he didn't want to take that picture with you. I was like, really? I had no idea. But I got Chevy.
He didn't care. That's why. I mean, I was listening to the rewatchables, and I guess one of them, they were talking about vacation. I guess the word is, I mean, I don't know what Hollywood circle those guys are a part of, but they were saying that he's not the greatest. So, but. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the man, but yeah, I mean, I've heard that before, that he is not the nicest, even way back in the '70s when he was on, Saturday Night Live. I guess they had some issues with him, but either way,
I guess, not surprising. It was funny. The place where, we went for, Joel and Sherry's wedding, Chevy had the signed picture there. Remember that?
I do not.
Okay. Yeah, the winery had a signed picture from Chevy.
right.
Let me give you, I know I already said one last thing, but let me give you one last thing because I did remember it. Kind of funny. Cameron, who might be leaving this week if the Blind Side happens, he has a theory that Miss Felicia is related to Denzel Washington.
What?
So that's like spread around the house, and a lot of people are laughing about that. I guess, yeah, Izzy just told Jag about it. They were laughing.
All right, we'll see.
She's not. She's not. So.
Well, who knows? We don't know. But anyway, all right, boys and girls, that's it. We'll be back more. Hopefully this Thursday we'll drop another one or record another one, and I'll put it out when I can. But we do got another regular episode. Give us about a week or at least a few days because I just dropped two of them on you guys. So we didn't want to make it one big giant 3-4 hour show. So we split it up in half for you. So it's, I think they're both less than 2 hours, almost 2 hours. I don't know, but I can't remember everyone, but all right, everyone. With that, please go into the show notes below. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. Follow us on YouTube. Go to T Public, pick up a t-shirt, East Society, please. Twitter or X is East Society Pod, at Magnus Pod, at Theo Zisu. Instagram at East Society Pod, at the Zisu, at Magnus Pod. Follow us on TikTok at East Society Pod and all of that. So if you're new to the show, welcome. Thank you for listening to this episode, even if you're not a Big Brother fan. I still don't think I'm a fan. I'm just a frequent watcher. But anyway, but Spotify for Podcasters is the feed you're listening to. I've got two more. I said I might do three. I'm only going to do two more. The summer's wrapping up. School's about to start. Now I'm going to start my back to school episodes. Only a few, not a lot. I got two more summer ones for you. I think it was 1980. I'm sure they filmed it in the 70s, but they released it in 80. And then I got a late 80s summertime classic. But I got some questions on that one. But listen to the episode. You'll know which one I'm talking about. But anyway, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Come back for more here on Spotify for Podcasters, the E Society feed. And with that, be safe and party on.
Yep. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Till next time, have fun, be safe, and we'll see you next time, E Society.